Thank you. It's nice to hear the languages. It'd be great if you'd like to share where you're connecting from. I see for at least one of our participants, it's already Sunday morning. So warm greetings and good morning to Melbourne and where others are joining from. It's very special to be spread and connected in this amazing opportunity to understand the self. India, I know we're connected to Peru and Haiti, Spain, Italy. I want to share a couple of quotes on the subject of identification because it is such a It's such an important and deep topic. The first one is something Oscar Wilde said, that most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions, their lives a mimicry, their passions a quotation. Quite a statement. And I'm sure we can all relate to these feelings maybe before we started our spiritual journey and maybe very much still there in some ways. This is, let's see if we can help our Portuguese translation. Hope you can unmute now. And checking other translation is working well. The other is an American athlete. And he, it's David Goggins, and he said, you have to be willing to go to war with yourself and create a whole new identity. So what we understand by that, but to take on, and especially as an athlete, to go beyond your own limitations. So let's see where this topic takes us. And happy to hear your reflections, questions, and handing over to you, Brother Prashant. Good afternoon.
Thank you, and hello, and good afternoon from here. Let us create a few moments of silence and attention. And during these moments, we play with the word beyond. We see that expanse of light, aware that this is beyond. Just mind is exposed to this, mind is directed towards this. Word of silence and stillness. Thank you. It is such an extraordinary thing that there is this mind that is experiencing this extraordinary universe. This is an extraordinary faculty we got called mind. But just like anything that is powerful, it is always double-edged. So mind is powerful, but what happens ordinarily, it is given to the 10 heads of Ravan to use it. That's why people everywhere, what they want to know what to do with this mind in different ways. they are happy just to block the mind. Any kind of meditation that can block it, they are so happy with it. Our aim is not to block the mind. We know the great value of the mind, but we want to remove Ravan. That is all. So that the mind can be used by the angel. And it is useful for you, useful for others, useful for the world. And as we often mentioned, this dimension, physical dimension, you know, we call it story, the drama, it is neutral. Drama, any story is not bad. It is just a neutral story. Its story is harmless. But that story is a field of action for Ravan. So if you hang around here too long, Ravan likes it. Ravan can take some commission. Ravan gets bigger. That is why some caution when you are in this physical world, some caution to stop Ravan. You come to the world beyond, that is safer area. They are called godly regions, subtle region, soul world, they are godly regions. They favor the soul. They favor the angel. So that is like a nice preparation, preamble. Let us create a few more minutes, but also encouragement for you to use sight, light, comment. Feel free to type your comments, questions. But also, very welcome to come in the camera. And that interaction is, it helps in the dynamics. We are dealing with the invisible, but create this opportunity. Come in the visible to grasp the invisible. Thank you. So let us create a few more minutes for the same experiment. And as always, the intellect plays a big part here. We know we have got the best intellect. And we have the option to use the intellect, Paras intellect. And with Paras, we see the way God sees. Paras just means that you give yourself permission to see with 100% clarity. No, there is no need of compromise, some confusion, no need. 100% clarity. And in that clarity, you understand physical world. You ordinarily, you don't want to know, is it a story or is it a real world? Yes or no. You know, so for Paras, there is no compromise. It's a story, full stop. There is no point in complaining about a story. Where is the real world? Paras can see the real world, the true family and true home. Paras can see this. For Paras, it is not a meditation. For Paras, the immortality is natural. and subtlety is natural, obvious. So it just sees that expanse that we spoke of, expanse of light and the world of silence. And during these seconds, mind is experiencing it. Mind is seeing that expanse. We may close eyes, open eyes. That is secondary. During these minutes, you feel free to try whatever that helps. But the eye of the mind is seeing that expanse of light. We may see it in color. And important, this is a region beyond. Next step for us is to engage in this world. And when we use the word engage, we mean you are actively experiencing the details, you're noticing things, you are there. It's a silent world. This is the auspicious world. World that is timeless. We are aware of the invisible brothers in this region. Aware of the supreme friend, one with the wisest, the highest. We are engaged. That means everything is immersed. This environment, alaukik environment, helps the soul. The soul becomes conscious, sees himself as that invisible presence. Understands his immortality becomes normal. It is normal for him to belong to this sky. Normal for him to be independent from the story. normal for him not to need anything from anywhere. Normal to be happy. Normal that he is beyond harm. Normal that all are like him from the same home. All are lovely and lucky. All are immortal and from the family of God. For him, this is normal and obvious. He sees it. He belongs here. From here, he looks in the distance, sees the great story. And as he prepares to come in the story world, as this invisible player, invisible soul, prepares to come in the story world, he comes as a guest. He never becomes part of the story. He finds it very strange to create even the slightest bondage in any story. He's very happy with his supreme reality. Very happy to be the observer of the story. Thank you. So today our subject is connected with identification. And as you gather, first thing we will be doing is use the whiteboard. And you will have the option to adjust and make it small or big on your device. What we are aware of and over this, you know, over the period of time, we have come to conclusion, not just as a concept, but with conviction that here is the family of souls. As I said, not a concept, but we understand there is this family of souls. They are immortal and they are lucky. They are the ones who are experiencing anything. Most important thing right now, one who is experiencing this interaction here, the words, not the body, not BK, so and so, but the tiny point here, who is experiencing here, using this very, very huge body and physical, you know, device, and but one who is making sense of this is this tiny point, soul. And same thing applies in this whole planet. These tiny points, they are the ones who are experiencing. They are the ones who make decisions. They are the ones who have feelings. Tiny points. These tiny points get angry, get tantrums. And they are the ones who have, you know, ideas and creative ideas. Quite nice to understand this. And what has happened to these tiny, tiny princes? They are princes who belong to the King of Kings. They are lucky. You know, we often show this image that they have this home, and it is a home of happiness. Their nature is of happiness. Any spiritual experiences, any out-of-body experiences, always have happiness in it. Near-death experiences, there is happiness. Because the moment you come out of this Ravan's department, you don't need cakes to be happy. Just a natural state of the soul is happiness. There's a region of happiness. It's the good news that here is the world of happiness, and natural state is good, very positive state. Everyone. It is nicely mentioned in the Murli. You know, Baba says, this is a small little world of the father and the family. This is a happy world. This is a lovely world. What will Baba say next? You want to guess? This is a happy world. This is a lovely world. What is Baba saying next? And who remembers? You can type.
Everyone's just thinking hard at the moment. And it's the home. Someone's written box, maybe separate from the box. Everyone is lovelier than the other. It is small. There are only a few Brahmins. Lucky.
Yeah, good, very good. And one more aspect, Baba is saying, as long as they stay behind the light, they have to stay within that castle. Baba used the word castle, but a line. So there is a protection that is required. And for us, the line is at this level, when we are talking about the souls and the family of souls and the father, at that level, Alaukik level, they have to stay behind the line of clarity. The moment one enters into ignorance, it can go completely wild. You know, everything changes, game changes. Just like some children, they can be happy. They should be happy. They got everything. But if they are confused, they can be crying for nothing or crying for a very petty thing, and the whole thing becomes so big and can create a misery for themselves. The same is happening here. These invisible souls, their world is happy world. That is a lovely world. As long as they stay behind the line. And if they cross the line, it is not happy, it is not lovely. So this is this is part of the destiny. We cross the line. Do you hear any background sound here? There is no war going on. It is just, there is, maybe I should show you what is happening. There is a competition going on, boating competition, students. But the missiles from Ukraine have not yet arrived here. So here, let us see this next passage, next. When we cross the line, we are finding ourselves in confusion. To cross the line means confusion. You are in a, you don't even know what is going on. You know, something doesn't belong to you. You start saying, this is my, if there is a story and you start saying, oh, this is my friend is here in the story, he's confused. Do you feel you got some friends in the story? Then ask yourselves, do you feel you got any friends? Do you got any treasures in this story? Then we have crossed the line. And then you are creating bondage and death traps until you are completely into caught in the web. The soul is unconscious. Soul doesn't even know he is in the web. So the next problem is he's unconscious. These are the problems. These are serious situations. And then in that state, your idea of progress is to create more bondages. That is your idea of progress. So within that story, you want to have more gold and bigger hat and a little bit more praise for the shoes. This is the idea of progress and success. You know, this is what is going on. Who said this? Aldous Huxley. He said, this technology and science is good, but in the present world it is bad because it is taking us in a wrong direction at a fast speed. And that is exactly what is happening. You know, we are in the name of progress. We are full blast going in the wrong direction. And everything is helping us. You know, science, technology, prosperity, it all helps us to go in that wrong direction. Confused person, you give him something powerful, it will cause him more harm than good. So this is our present situation. And this background, now you understand also why this subject of identity becomes a serious subject. So I'm coming to the next image. And in this next image, I am showing our world, the physical world, the story world. And in this story world, there's body, there are objects, and there are others, people, and this is a car, your driverless car, and what else? Money, you can't forget the money. It's an amazing world here. And the invisible traveler is passing through this world. He has his world beyond, he has his journey, but the invisible traveler is passing. Everything is nice, as if you are passing through some, you know, you visit someone, you are there for half an hour, you are going to come out of this. In that state of confusion, you won't be surprised he starts using the word my to things within this world. So he's temporarily there, but he starts using the word my. But next level of confusion, he starts using the word I, defines himself based on things here. So how does this happen? Using the word I, he defines himself. And he may define himself based on many things, but within the story, you heard the quotation that was read at the beginning. You know, someone else define themselves based on others. You know, so that is what is going on. So we have given some examples in the past, and I will quickly revise those examples. And I like the example of Mark Chapman. These are extreme examples, but helps us to understand. Mark Chapman, he liked John Lennon. And in time, he started to think he is John Lennon. And that is the person, he's still in the psychiatric prison. So suddenly there were two John Lennons. You know, so many Elvis is different, but two John Lennon becomes a problem. So here, another friend of ours acting in a drama, theater, and in his words, the part he was playing, that part, that role started to take over me. These are his words. He was confused with me, you know, thinking I am that James Bond, you know, that confusion. So these are the cases of identification. You know, we use the word identification for this. Essentially, we are talking about false identification. Many people know about this and they speak of this also, but they may not realize the seriousness of this. This is not academic, that is identify, oh, ha, ha, identify with this, ha, 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 this kind of thing. We are seeing the seriousness, how it creates total chaos in our lives and deprives us of something immensely beautiful. So how do we do this? You know, in the past, we have given the example. You know, I come in this room, there is a plant. I like the plant. And I water the plant. I'm here just for 2 days, but I'm watering the plant. And we give the example, someone praises the plant. I like to hear the praise. And someone criticizes the plant. I start to feel as if they are criticizing me. I take the offense. So what has happened? You know, just within days, I am finding myself. You know, here is the, you know, plant, looks like a tree, okay. So I'm finding myself identifying. So what has happened? Subconsciously, I start to feel that plant is part of me. Subconsciously, I start to give myself self-respect based on the plant. You know, anyone praises the plant, I like to say, yes, it is me. So there is some self-respect. Subconsciously, I give a birth to an I based on the plant. Subconsciously. Consciously, I don't say that I am the plant, but subconsciously, I feel exactly. So each time you praise it, I take it personally. Each time you criticize it, I take it personally. That is what that I means. So see it, how it takes birth gradually. There was a time that I feeling was not there connected with that plant. In time, that has come. You know, this town where I live, there was a time I did not even know that there was a place called Cambridge. And now just I'm associated with it. Nothing is permanent. I'm here at the moment. But there, it is possible, I feel as if there is some identification. Someone says, oh, Cambridge is nice, or nice, Park is nice. And that's it. I feel as if they are talking about me in some respect. And they take this reflected glory, you know, about it. And that is identification that is growing in the background. Without you knowing, you identify, you know, you take it personally. And once you have taken that, created that situation, created identification, the next time it will take offense. Someone criticizes, it is, you're trapped. You know, you're already trapped. Do we identify like this? Do we identify with things here? Yeah. Do you want to give other examples in your life? Do you identify? Just to observe, you know, that's why we want to explore this. What are the things you identify with?
Children and husband or daughter of someone can be like spiritual methods, techniques, achievements, body, the way we look, the religion, the football team, the way we cook.
Yeah, excellent. Very, very good to observe the subtle things also. Oh. Gross and subtle.
Mm-hmm. Religion, ethnicity.
Yeah,
we identify maybe with this retreat, with this identification retreat.
Yes, yes.
Justice, yeah. Logic, knowledge itself, spiritual knowledge of Raj Yoga and the task that we're doing.
Good to observe, you know. Anything within the story, then it becomes a false identification. And it can be, you know, institution, people, individuals, anything. You know, but see the big ones and gross ones, you know, that are there. And all of these false identifications, what do they do? What is the real problem? Okay, I identify. So why are we making a big meal about it, big deal? It is okay, and identify. But I know I'm a soul, but these identities are there. Where is the problem? Some might say, they give me happiness. People are praising my dog and I feel good about this. So where is the problem?
Pulls the intellect out of its truth. We, because of this, unknowingly, we do wrong by getting more involved in the drama.
Good, very good. What we are seeing here, our world is a real world. It's a world of bliss and love, world of God, world of immortality. It's a divine reality. This dimension, we can literally use the word divine for this. It means no demon, no vibration of demon, no vibration, which means nothing inauspicious, no vibration of disappointment. No one knows anything of that kind, whether it is disappointment or irritation or boredom. Those things don't exist. It's a world of bliss and love. And bliss and love come with their friends. In an extreme level, such is the world. But more than that, it is truth. You are in the real world. You are truth. It is eternal. It exists forever. we are talking about God and immensely lovely family. And from there, you are enjoying the story also. You are not running away from anything. Story is also a great performance. Every second is great. Beginning is nice and end is nice. Such was your life. When you cross the line into ignorance, you lose this completely. Confusion means this. You are not accessing it. You don't even know, you know, that you are immortal. You don't know your home, don't know the father, but don't know even the self. It is such a confusion. That's why the self becomes unconscious. Such is the level. Okay, now you want to come out of it. You know, we all can do mistakes. We want to come out of it. But when you create an identity, they won't let you come out. Identity will die. You know, if you become soul conscious, they will die. They actively are working to become bigger. And they will resist any effort to remove them. That is why you get trapped in the trap of these false identities. It doesn't become a nice joke, but it becomes a real, you know, leech. You know, something is sticky, you know, inside. And even if you want to remove it, it is not so easy to remove this kind of thing. To give birth to them, to feed them, and it creates some excitement. Someone is praising the shoes. It is better they praise the shoes than criticize the shoes. You like that. Someone is praising your children and this and something, you know, it all appears to be good in success. But all along, we are going in a reverse gear. These get bigger. And each of these identity then, they are programmed, you know, for the worst. What are they programmed for? Each of these identity is programmed for the victim mindset. They are programmed for the beggar mindset. Beggar constantly want more. He can never satisfy. You give him 10 times more and he wants more. It is like that. Because it is forever insecure. It is based on insecure world. It is forever programmed for the slave mindset. It is constantly dependent on things around. Can be other people, one identity based on another person. And sometimes someone dies and someone says, I'm depressed, I'm crying. Because it is the identity created based on another person. There is a slave created there underneath. But it is also programmed for the demon. If you see any extreme behavior in the world, you know, it is even the thoughts, they can think something like that. It is necessarily coming from the false eye. Gandhi used to say, the bandits, they don't come from the sky. They are created here. We have created them. So nothing suddenly happens. No? It is all created over the time. We feed this identity, and then the demon is created, slave is created, the beggar is created, victim is created in ourselves. Everything that we do not like in anyone else, its origin is this false identity. And everything that others don't like with me, the origin is the false identity. You understand? Whatever you don't like within you, yourself, its origin is false identity. So if you want to be a good person, you want to be a good person? Nice, kind. Everyone says you are kind. Do you like that idea? So then you will have to remove these false identities. And that is the seed of all evil. If you remove that, then it gives chance for the angel to be in charge of your mind and life. So let us hear some thoughts from you.
What you just mentioned, we dislike it is coming because of the ego. Question, is it the identity that gets challenged by the ego of another that doesn't like the ego, or just a general dislike for the identity? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It is not necessarily the ego of others, but the situation is enough, you know, whether ego or not, but some situation comes and this identity in me just feels insecure. For example, this identity in me is based on the car. I want people to praise the car. And someone is not praising it, just keeps quiet. That is enough for this ego. You know, well, what's wrong? You know, you should be praising it. Everyone else praises it. Why you are keeping quiet? But if he criticizes it, then big problem. You know, you feel he is your enemy for the rest of it. I'm just exaggerating, but for a big eye, reasons of this kind are big reasons also. So it is other person may be very honest and he may not have ego of any kind, but my identity is enough to take the offense and create a big upheaval about it. So here the example I gave is identity based on the car, but then I can create an identity based on my cooking. Someone comes for a meal and says nothing about the cooking, keeps quiet. That is, you know, you can create an identity based on some, you know, ideas, religions, based on image of yourself, that I am punctual, I am right, something along those lines. One person, she may just give some opinion about something trivial, makes an opinion. And then someone else may give another opinion. She is ready to bring the roof down, you know, that I am never wrong. And no one else should say anything about that opinion. Everything else comes to a halt because that they don't touch that opinion. So this is like an identity behind this. You get completely distracted from your life, from your destination, when you got an identity like this. If all and everyone, we need to observe what we are identifying with.
It's true. It's interesting how it. I remember the Ram and Sita story. It was shared with a group, and the next day or the next week, the students came back, and the churning that had been is what others. They were sort of returning on all the egos that they'd seen in everybody else. So yes, we need to observe that in ourselves. Clarify when you mentioned about others, the idea of not liking something in others seems judgmental. Should we even be experiencing this feeling? Maybe connected to what you said, if there's anything we don't like in ourselves or others, it is to do with the false identity.
Judgment, we are not saying judgment is wrong. Power to judge is a good power. Power to discriminate is a good power. But the question is, who is using the judgment? Is it the angel or is it ego? If a doctor has to give a treatment to the patient, he has to come to a decision. He has to use the power of judgment. He has to find out what is going on. And he cannot say power to judgment is wrong. But the judgment is, you come to that judgment, come to that decision, so that you can do benefit. And be wiser. You yourselves are wiser, others are wiser. But if the demon uses the judgment, then he will use it for different reasons. So we want to avoid that.
Yeah. Interesting. It'd be nice to hear your follow-up thoughts on that answer. One question, is it ego to be called kind and then feel love?
We were joking a little bit earlier, but yes, to be kind is right. You know, when the soul who is soul conscious, he is kind, naturally kind. But he might not be worried about others see him as kind or others notice it or don't notice it. That may not be an issue. But if the ego takes birth, the ego wants to be seen as kind. He may be feeling kind or not, but wants to be seen. So that is the difference between ego-based life and soul-based life.
Ego also likes to work on the dana.
Yes. In our ego, in essence, ego works at a superficial level. And what is possible for us is to become authentic in virtue. And you can be authentic in virtue only if you remove the seed of all this falseness.
If someone has spent their whole life identifying with their work, profession, and achievements, and then when the awakening is, when that happens, the career, the work, the choices may seem meaningless, and there may be a lack of motivation. What's next?
Our higher truth is bigger. The prize that you are getting at the higher level to discover this. You are the angelic prince, and that is higher than prince of the Iron Age. Someone may be prince here, you know, in this world for 50 years. If he really discovers what is behind all this, he will be very happy to experience the eternal prince, the real prince. It is not a fake prince in a little story, temporary story. He wants to discover, experience the real prince, real treasures, and their most refined treasures. Life with King of Kings, worthiness to be loved by the King of Kings, in the world of immortality, and mind that is free from anything inauspicious. That divine king and divine prince. And that whole thing is disproportionate to anything you may get in a story. And then he also understands that whatever the achievement is, it is in a reverse gear. Once the clarity comes, he says, okay, but that was in a wrong direction. you know, that whole effort was put in the wrong direction. He's happy to dismantle it rather than be stubborn and continue to go in the wrong direction. Then it means he has not understood knowledge. But if someone understands knowledge, he says, okay, now is the time to change. I like this one nice in an interview with Tony Blair. He was the prime minister, and he changed policies, overnight of some policies. So the reporter is asking him, what is this? All these years you had a policy, all of a sudden you changed the policy completely. And his answer was, if you realize you are driving in a wrong direction, then there is no point to be stubborn. Make a U-turn now. But he also stopped, there is no further questions. He totally admits it was the wrong direction. But now, I don't want to go in that direction further. Make a U-turn now. So this should be our policy. Once you understand that was the wrong direction, then to be stubborn, that is ignorance.
Something very practical, yes. One question, what conclusions should the intellect develop so as not to be trapped or confused by the events happening, say, in Ukraine at the moment?
Yeah, sure. We want to see the truth first. We want to see the true picture in every situation. There are many things happening also. Just in your town, there may be things happening also, in some families, things are happening. So the drama is like this. So when you see the true picture, we were giving another gathering, we were saying, if there is a right diagnosis, then you help others, your intervention brings results, and everyone is benefiting. If I work with the wrong diagnosis, in some kind of a bhavna, sentimentalities, some feelings, or maybe stubbornness, but with false diagnosis, if I am working, then I am wasting everyone's time. And there is no benefit for anyone at the end of it. So here, when I'm seeing the true picture of this world, we said right at the beginning, here is a story. Prashant is part of that story. And I know something can, Prashant is not an eternal sin. Prashant will disappear. And it may be any time. If some situation will come, Prashant, there is a story there, story going on. But behind the story, there are real people. And these are the invisible players. And they are the invisible princes. They are real players. They are the invisible actors. So right now here, I'm seeing some people walking, some are running, all this going on. That is happening in the drama. If I see with my spiritual sight, I will be seeing there are also 10, 15 invisible actors here. And they all are invisible princes, and they are from the same home. The best thing that can happen to them is they wake up, come out of this deception. Right now they are deceived in this story. They come out of this deception, discover the prince, discover the king, discover their immortality, That is the highest thing that can happen. And that is the level I want to intervene. And that is what, and I want to find out how to achieve it. That is what I want to work on. If I think I should change the Cinderella script, I changed the Cinderella script and I gave them more gold and I give them bigger head. Does it fix the problem? No. Nothing will be fixed. The deception continues. So my intervention priority is not changing the, that is not a priority. My intervention is to help the invisible players wake up and discover their truth, big truth. And then they will be finding the drama amusing. If you are talking about the world situation and the war, all the souls, you know, the invisible players are on the side of Ukraine. Invisible players are on the side of Russia. They are all our invisible brothers. Invisible players are in Cambridge also, and they are in America also. All are in trouble, and they all need to come out. Having got that position right, then if I want to do anything else, there is no problem. Let me not get distracted into the drama so much that I ignore my real job. I ignore the job that really need to be done. And I am running around finding gold, or something. No, let me get this primary, the main thing in place. And we all act, like if there is someone here in front of me and I can do something, I will find a way to help him physically. But let me not get drawn into it so much that I am myself crossing the line. Then it's a bigger loss for everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe a question. This may be our preoccupation, but how to help others? There may be souls without understanding who are perplexed and by the world situation, and they are making it big. What would your reaction positioning be in this situation?
No, that is going to happen, that is the majority, and media is absolutely blowing this up. But let me hold the line myself first. Let me do right thing. And if one person creates light, and they say there is darkness, and 10 people are creating darkness, you create light, it helps all 10 people.
Thank you. So there aren't any other questions right now.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to use one more image that we have done in the past. If I was to take a photograph of the mind, what will you see? Just an image for us to keep it in the mind. And that you will see that there are many, many identities. False identities. One is based on the hat. One is based on the job. One is based on the dog. One is based on the shoes. But in the midst of all this, there is a true identity in the midst of all this. Maybe I'll show you what is happening here. Can you see any river boats? You want to cheer them up?
Cheer them on. I think they're already cheered up. Yes.
They get a power from 100 angels. That should be, they must be lucky without knowing. So this is our starting position. And now our aim is to come back to this complete soul consciousness. And how do we achieve this? This is the way we all start. When we come back, come from the soul world, we are soul conscious, then these identities come. And as we said, they're like leech. Without you knowing, they're really stubborn. And just because we got knowledge, it is not that they have gone. You know, they are there under the surface. That's why we need that fire. Baba uses these words, fire of yoga. You know, that Baba says we have to create hours, not just little here, little time here. You have to create hours. And what do you do during these hours? You have to nourish the soul consciousness. Every second, you are coming in that true identity. You are coming in the soul awareness. It is as if you are bringing light. And when the light comes, darkness becomes less. So this becomes less, and you are replacing it with the true identity. So by the end of this week, you know, by next Saturday, complete transformation. Are you okay with that? You start today, and in 1 week's time, we'll be like this. All the false identities. Yeah, nice. Yeah, you want to add anything?
Yeah, that sounds good. There's an expression in worldly life, they say, if you've spotted, you've got it. That expression is used. Is it true here? So if, like, we observe identity?
Not really. You know, Baba shows us what is going on. Doesn't mean Baba has got it. You know, we can spot more clearly because intellect is clear. Those who are completely drowning in it, they might not be able to observe anything in themselves or in others. Or whenever they are blaming others, they are often, you know, false, they can be projecting things, whatever. They want, but not necessarily anything. But more important for us is to observe. When can we observe these identities? One person asked the question, which identity is difficult to remove? What would be your answer? Okay, agreed, we got identities based on many things, based on people, position, possessions, place, so all these agreed. Which of these are difficult to remove?
The ego, the attachment, the ego that we aren't able to see, the one that is considered the one that gives meaning to our lives, the identification around the body, golden thread, so maybe a spiritual identification of the role itself, the one we get drawn back into.
Yes, very good. You know, and the most important is the one that we have not seen. You, me, we got identities based on some maybe subtle things, gross things, or whatever. And if you are not seen it, then it will be hiding there. It is there, but hiding. You know, and if you are not even seen, it will not go. But when will you see it? If some situation comes that scratches you, that's a good chance. If someone says to you, you are lazy, and it really bothers you, the question is not whether you are lazy or not. That is not a question. But it tells you that you are having an image that you are not lazy, that you are perfect. That if that image was not there in you, that comment will not bother you. Anything that bothers you, it means you got an identity around it. You know, someone says, oh, food, I don't think like the food you prepared. If you are not identifying with it, it won't bother you. If you're identifying with it, it will bother you. You know, it can become a big issue if the identity is very big. That is the way we are. You know? It's, whenever these situations come, we have to use it for your growth, for your progress. In many cultures, you know, people are very polite and gentle. They don't say things that easily. But whenever that does happen, you don't go into the logic and truth and reason. Just take advantage of that situation. In the very fact that it bothers you, there is identity. And once you use that little discrimination, you will get better at spotting in yourself what exactly you are identifying. And somehow it resolves. The moment you have seen it, you also see how absurd it is to identify with something so silly. It can be as silly as shoes or some baked potatoes. You will find it really, you know, mad, and you are happy to be free from it.
Wonderful. Yes, hilarious. So we get free entertainment. Yes. We have a question coming up, but maybe it's a good place to pause and then we'll continue. Do you have anything to suggest to help focus room discussion?
Well, one question is to ask, anyone got ego? Ask yourselves if you got any ego. That is one important area, what you are identifying and how you are going to remove them, if there is any ego. The broad word ego, we use it for these false identities.
Okay, so what identities have you observed? What is the method to remove them? Right?
Yes.
Sound okay?
What is your method? How are you doing? Your
method. Yeah, I think it's a subject to reflect on, but maybe the rooms will help start the process. So hope it's a nice opportunity to meet. And if you want to change rooms, that's possible if you're in the wrong room, but you can always raise the, I think, press help and enjoy. And we'll meet back in 10 or 15 minutes. Thanks. Thank you.
to cross the line and go into ignorance is not compulsory. Thank you. You know, happy if there are any comments or any questions.
Yeah, there are three, four questions. One question was, someone's son was arrested for something and they have like some limitations. And since then, the person is saying they felt shamed. He wasn't charged. He was obviously understood to be with limitations. There was a feeling of being ashamed. Does that mean there's an identification around the being a mother of the son?
Yes. You know, ultimately, you know, one who is conscious, soul that is conscious, literally sees the story as a Cinderella. Someone is acting as a son, someone is acting as a, you know, judge, and someone is acting as a mother. Just the whole thing is a stunt. And plays the part, but self-respect is not based on the drama. But if in the past we have taken self-respect, it can be the past lives also. We have taken self-respect based upon children or something like that. That identity will take the disrespect. You know, if we have fed that identity, that will be affected. But the knowledge and the understanding has power to finish it very quickly. Now the self-respect is invisible prince, and invisible prince is the invisible actor.
Thank you. Earlier it was said that the identity that is hard to see, the one we cannot see, is the hardest to remove. So if we're not seeing it, how do we know that it exists?
Is it a question?
Yeah. How do we know that an identity exists in order to remove it if we're not seeing it?
Sure. There are other identities, whichever you have seen, and the answer is the same. We continue to work on the true identity. We continue to nourish the invisible prince awareness. Let us stay behind that line. And just remember these few words that I'm quoting. Small little world for the father and family, and they stay behind the line. And so just remember this, and this is yoga within this. You know, you are aware of the true identity, and that will remove all the false identities. But and as the contrast stands out, you will observe whatever that is hiding us. You know, when the contrast is not there, you might not observe some identities, but then you will observe more quickly.
I like that. It's like if you're clearing or tidying a room, you start with what you can manage and see, and the identities which are there, which we see, we can work on them. But when that clutter is removed, you see the other clutter more easily, and you're also more empowered. One more question. The complete acceptance of the freedom of others, does that not reinforce that current trend or perspective of disposable relationships with no emotional investment?
Sure. At present, we are completely ignoring our true relations. We are so caught up in the Cinderella relation, think that it is real, that is true, and we are investing in it, and ignoring the true family and true father, even the true self. And emphasis all along is first let us get the truth. You know, let us start from the true self and true family. Let me celebrate this. There is a family here. And what is required there? Then they might need help us. And we have the intellect and sight to see this now. And there is a celebration. You know, if there is a father who is the wisest and highest, but loveliest. And so why should we ignore truth at the present? So everything gets, you know, their feelings, emotions, everything is involved now, but at a right level. It is good not to get in the emotional tangle with Cinderella.
Yeah, I think we can agree with that. Would be interesting to hear if that.
Cinderella or James Bond, don't get into emotional tangle.
Yes. Nor the prince or the ugly sisters. Okay, so really enjoying this opportunity just to shine spotlights. We're all like a different spotlight shining clarity on this. So if you have anything final to share, it could be a practice or a focus that may be useful or you'd like to highlight before we close. And if there's any other questions, we can take them up maybe tomorrow.
Yes, you know, of course we'll get a chance tomorrow. But during this next 24 hours, let there be this momentum, silent. You know, it might, if it involves less of the interaction with people, you will be more useful to more people in the world if you are yourselves in the higher consciousness. Even if you maybe not be talking too much, but you are more useful. Certainly experiment with this during these days of retreat. And when there is that momentum, things are understood, experienced at another level. So when this is in the air, this discussion is going on, take advantage. I also mentioned in the past some words that are important for you. Write them. There are some sketches that you feel are important. You know, draw them, keep them in your main room. And we need revision and reminders. They're immensely useful in this process, upward journey.
Yeah, thank you. I like that. It's in the air. It's in the air in South Africa and Melbourne and Peru and in Spain, Italy. We can feel this benefit of this opportunity to meet. Thank you, Prashant. Yes, fly. That's nice. We can close with just a couple of minutes of meditation, some words spoken from that space, from Babdada in Madhuban, Om Shanti. Thanks to all.
Christ.